This is Brannon House Live.
Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
But first, if you look at my screen, here's the story today. Exclusive from General Flynn. My heart is broken by Biden's Afghanistan failure. He says, my heart breaks as I see the Afghan people flood the Kabul airport in the hope of escaping the Taliban. Joining me now is General Flynn. General Flynn, thank you for making time for us tonight. I know you've done a lot of interviews. I know you got a lot going on with your family, and thank you for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brannon. And the phrase in the military that we use, it's an acronym, MAM, stands for military-aged males. And there are a bunch of military-aged males that I'm seeing in these various groups of people that are being, sequestered and then pushed out as whatever they're calling them, refugees, out into other parts of the world, like into Europe and certainly into the United States of America. So we've got to really, really be careful. I mean, this tragedy that's unraveled actually in Afghanistan over the last few days is well known. The problems have been well known. You see leaks coming out of the intelligence community in the last 24 hours, basically leaks from the intel community against the commander-in-chief, Biden, and saying that, hey, we told him that he knew. He absolutely knew. And I think it was out of the Washington Post. Another piece of information before really diving into any questions you might have on Afghanistan, just because of what's happening. And it actually was broken in Revolver outlet. And it has to do with a Navy commander who wrote a memo. And apparently Revolver came into possession of this 2.5-page memo. And it is really, really a bravely written memo about the COVID vaccine and how detrimental this naval commander who's got it lays out his background and everything. The guy's got a terrific career and a terrific background. He should be promoted. And he lays out the detrimental effects of the vaccine that the Department of Defense is now starting to mandate to all members of the military. These types of things, the article that I put out today about the Department of Homeland Security's terrorism threat alert warning that they put out last Friday, this unraveling and ungodly situation coming out of Afghanistan, the effects of the Chinese attack on our country, not only as Mike has laid out so in so much detail against our election, as well as some of the things that we're seeing in the Straits of Taiwan. We had somewhere between 7 and 10 aerial excursions inside of the Taiwan defense zone by Chinese aircraft. I mean, this is all in the last 72, 96 hours. All of the things that I just talked about are things that we know of. And so the ability for the United States leadership to juggle a lot of balls, which has normally been the case when we've had very effective presidents like the last president that we had. And under this administration, I just feel like I will tell you, Brandon, that I absolutely believe that our nation is in a state of crises right now, unlike we have ever had. That was the Afghanistan situation is sort of Joe Biden's Bay of Pigs type of event, only it's multiplied by about 50. It's that bad of a situation. This is not Vietnam and Saigon. This is more like a Bay of Pigs, but it's multiplied by a factor of about 50. It's that bad. And when I'm hearing from all kinds of friends from special forces, from journalists who I know, who are being called up by some of the interpreters that they use or troops or forces that they fought with, Afghans that they fought with, they're begging to get them help to get out of that country. And never mind what the administration has done. The administration basically said to the Americans that are in Afghanistan to shelter in place. The ambassador took off. The ambassador should be like a captain of a ship, should stay in place until all American citizens, as to the maximum extent possible, are safe and secure and out of the threat zone. And I understand the ambassador left, I guess, a couple of days ago. And never mind Ashraf Ghani, the former president of Afghanistan, who basically he acceded his presidency. And now I understand. In fact, I received a voice text message from a friend today. And I guess it was from the first vice president of Afghanistan, Abdullah, who now says he is in charge of Afghanistan. And he's basically staying in the country where Ghani left the country. And he left his own people to suffer at the hands of the Taliban. And the one big thing, and I'll get off my soapbox here, Mike or Brandon, is that the one country that has benefited the greatest of all of these things that we've been talking about is China, particularly in Afghanistan. So China benefits the greatest because China now has a wide open door for what they call their Belt Road Initiative, particularly the road and the rail initiative, which I know is going to go through Afghanistan. And there are a ton of resources in Afghanistan that the Chinese want access to. So China, you'll see, and as I state in my article, you know, as things progress in Afghanistan, you're going to see China recognize the Islamic Caliphate of Afghanistan as a nation.
And now I'm so glad to hear you bring this up, because on Sunday night, I showed my TV audience, this audience. Logan, give me a thumbs up if you're showing this to them. Are they seeing that, Logan? China and the Taliban begin their romance. Now, this is Foreign Policy Magazine. Beijing has its eyes set on using Afghanistan as a strategic corridor once U.S. troops are out of the way. And we see that they say amid all the regional angst, China is quietly attempting to secure its interest in post-U.S. Afghanistan. Beijing has reportedly been actively engaging with Kabul on construction of the, I guess that's the Peshawar Kabul motorway, which would connect Pakistan to Afghanistan, make Kabul a participant in China's massive infrastructure and investment plan, the Belt and Road Initiative that General Flynn was bringing up right then.
Exactly.
The article goes on to say, once completed, these new thoroughfares should be enable Beijing to pursue its goals of increased trade with the region and natural resource extraction in Afghanistan. According to a 2014 report, Afghanistan may possess nearly $1 trillion worth of extractable rare earth metals locked within its mountains. And folks, if you look at this map right here, you see Afghanistan. You see it underlined with red,
right? I'll tell you what two of them are. Two of those rare earth elements, we call them, or rare earth metals, are copper and lithium. And everybody in the world has lithium on them. In fact, I'm holding a piece of material with lithium in it. You have a bunch of screens behind you and all those cameras in your room there. Lithium is one of the largest deposits of lithium in the world is in Afghanistan. That's just one of the rare earth elements. It's a huge thing to have that type of resource and have the access. But the other real thing is not about creating markets in Afghanistan or any of the Central Asian Republic states like Turkmenistan or Uzbekistan or even Pakistan. It's about a road network and a rail network and a sea network, which goes to the south, that goes into places like Europe and Africa, where there is even greater wealth and greater amounts of resources, particularly Africa. The one thing that the Chinese have done very, very well is gaining access to food, water, and energy, and the resources that supply and support those three commodities. So China is the big winner here in this just absolutely, it's just a debacle. I am so ashamed. But now, so that's the problem. That's the problem, right? And the one thing that I learned as a child and I learned as in the military is that bad things are going to happen to people. Bad things will happen to a nation. We are not to be judged as people or to be judged as a nation by the fact that something bad happened. We should be judged by what will we do about it? What will we do next? What will the United States of America do next? And I will tell you, under this leadership, I'm concerned at what they'll do next. I'm concerned about the decision-making apparatus that we have. So what the people of this country have to do, and Mike and I just had a great conversation. I appreciate you allowing us to do that, and Mike asking about that. But this business about auditing, and this business about checking who actually won in 2020?
Established communications with General Flynn. General Flynn, thank you again for your flexibility tonight. Would you tell our audience about your resume as a retired general? How much time you spent in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yep, thank you. So, I have served multiple times in Afghanistan. Twice I served as the senior, as the head of intelligence for all international forces in Afghanistan. Twice. I started there in 2002, and I went back again in 2009. But in between, I served for three solid years, working in Afghanistan and Iraq, and at that time I was the head of intelligence for all of our special operations forces, and so I got quite a bit of time, more time than my family wants to be reminded of. But
so tell me what it means
to me, Brandon, because the one thing that we should always be thankful for are the men and women who have given their lives, and these Gold Star parents who have lost a loved one, a young man or woman at the age of 18, 19, 20, who came over to Afghanistan to fight for our freedoms and our way of life. We should be thankful for them. And this administration right now I'm just so sickened by what we're seeing. It really, really just disheartens me. And that's why I felt so strongly about writing that article that I wrote, as well as writing the one that I just put out tonight about the all of us, like you, being identified as a domestic terrorist because you claim, you say that there's been election fraud or the COVID-19 is all nonsense, or it's not, or the vaccine is something that, you know, if you talk bad about it, you're going to be labeled a domestic terrorist. I'm not kidding.
I just read three or four paragraphs or more to the audience while we were trying to reestablish. And I even showed this graphic that NBC News put up there, potential terror threats, opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud.
Right.
I mean, this is who's now the threat, top two threats.
Yeah. So listen, I'll let you get on with Dan Greenfield. I know he's got a great and you got a great group tonight coming in. And I always appreciate coming on and on to speaking and talking to this audience. This is a very smart audience, switched on audience, all are like I am, for the truth. I don't know something. I don't know it. I'll go dig until, you know, just like I've watched, and the nation has watched Mike Lindell dig into the election fraud that happened on the 3rd of November of 2020, which I firmly believe. But I'm going to be called by our own Department of Homeland Security a domestic terrorist because I believe that. I mean, this is insane. So God help and God pray for those people over in Afghanistan, particularly the American citizens. I don't know where our ambassador is. I don't know where Ashraf Ghani is. I've listened to our Pentagon spokespeople talk about what they're doing. It's an absolute disaster. It's an emergency that did not have to happen this way. We've known this problem over in Afghanistan for a long, long time. And there should have been a plan for this type of an evacuation, and it's all seat of the pants right now. Mm.
General, before we let you go, can you give a website where people can find more about you and the work you're doing?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for asking. It's www.americasfuture.net. Americasfuture.net. Please go to that, and you can see things that I post, and you can join America's Future, because that's what I am all about. Is fighting for the...